parsha, Parshas Bo, we have a very relevant topic. Very relevant topic. So the pasuk says, "Achodesh asher lachem rosh chodashim." This shall be the first of when you count the months. And Rashi there says, "Achodesh hazeh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe levana bechidusha." Levana. This is when it's reinvigorating, when it's starting to grow. Amar lo kesha yarech mischadish yelach rosh chodesh. When the moon starts to renew itself, you could have rosh chodesh. We're on page kuf yud ches. Kuf yud ches. So Rashi. Famous Rashi brings Medrash Gemara brings Hachodesh Hazeh. The Moshe Rabbeinu didn't exactly understand when the Molad was, so Hakadosh Baruch Hu pointed it out. Hazeh Nitasha Moshe a Molad Halavona Beizashir. When? How large does the moon have to be in order to be Makadosh the Chodesh? So Hakadosh Baruch Hu said with his finger, Kaviyachol Herab Halavona Berekia Hazeh Re'e VeKadosh. When the moon is like this. This is when you have Rosh Chodesh. So as we know, our minag re'e v'kadesh, we are mekadesh levana, kiddush levana. That's what we do. Ashkenazim call it kiddush levana. Some call it birkas levana. So that's going to be our sugya. Kiddush levana, this Amir Tashem, Motzei Shabbos, will be mekadesh kiddush levana. And our question, different. We're not going to talk about. We're going to talk about one specific prat of Kiddush Levana. We're going to talk about one that comes up, very relevant as it's raining outside. How well do you have to see the moon in order to say Kiddush Levana? If it's cloudy out, if it's light clouds, medium clouds, heavy clouds, how well do you have to see the moon in order to see Kiddush Levana? That's our question. This is the Rabbana. This is the Rabbana. Yeah, it's the Rabbana. Yeah. Yeah, it's not Duraisa. They're only the Duraisa brachas are Birkas Hamazon, and according to some poskim, Birkas Atara. Yeah. So that's Chiyuv is a Durabana. Okay, so bottom right, this is a famous Gemara, because we say it every time we are Mekadesh Levana, but Gemara be Sanhedrin. Bottom right, Kuf Yud Ches, bottom right, but Gemara Sanhedrin. Membez Amud Aleph, Muva, Amar Rabbi Acha, Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol HaMevarech Al HaChodesh Bizmanu. Anyone who says the bracha on the Levana in its proper time, ki ilu mekabel pnei shchina, as if we are mekabel the shchina itself. And it brings a pasuk that it's a psukim and a gzera shava, that it says a chodesh hazeh, and it says keli vanveyu. So just like zeh keli vanveyu, this is my Kaddish Baruch Hu, it says zeh, so too when it says a chodesh hazeh, it's like we are being mekabel the shchina. And Rabbi Shmuel continues, halavai, we should be able to see be mekabel the shchina once a month, and that's why, because we're being mekabel the shchina, we should say it meumad. So that's the famous Gemara, and then it continues and goes into what the nusach of the Kiddush Levana is. Now the Yerushalmi, we're on Kuf Yud Tes, top right, has a different girsa, but a very important girsa for our discussion. It says, Ayin Yerushalmi Sihizkir Halashan Bishinoi, because that's a little bit different in the Yerushalmi. It says, Taharoe Levana Bechidusha Mevara. Haroe, there's a din of Re'iyah to actually see the moon in order to say the bracha. Din of Roed, obviously a big nafkamina. If it's cloudy, what if you can't see it? Or what if you can see it a little bit, but not so well? So we're going to have to define what that means, haroe, the din seeing the levana.
What's the issue now? I mean, since we know precisely when the molad is, why don't we say bracha at the time of the molad?
Okay. So, you're talking a timing issue.
Yeah.
You're talking a timing issue. We're going to touch a little on that, but there are different minhagim. 3 days, 7 days, and the basis of those. But we'll touch on a shita that says you can say it on Rosh Chodesh. You can say it at the beginning. Okay, so we paskin as follows. We're on the right side, third paragraph down, where it says B'Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Yud Tes, right side B'Shulchan Aruch, four lines down, it says V'Higia HaRama. The Rama says as follows. V'Ein LeKadosh HaChodesh Ela Balayla. When is the proper time to say Kiddush Levana? V'Eis Shehalavana Zorachas, at a time when the moon is shining, v'nehenin me'ora, and we have hana'a from its light. What does that mean, v'nehenin me'ora? I mean, people who have daughters named Dora, we have lots of hana'a from them. But that's not a saying. That's not what it's saying.
No, in a street lighting.
They didn't have so, but do you actually have to have Hana'ah? Where do we have another parallel, Hana'ah? Motzei Shabbos, when do we have another Birkas HaNer? Mm-hmm. Birkas HaNer, we have a concept of having Hana'ah from the Ner. That's,
it doesn't say Menanin Me'oros, it should say Menanin Menanin Milerot.
Professor, wonderful point. Okay, so let's continue. We need to define this. So says we'll talk about it. So ube mishna brura kasa. We're continuing here. Oh, by the way, when it says the lashon and the Yerushalmi haroeh that you have to see it, that's how we paskin in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. That lashon is one who sees the moon says kiddush levana. So we're gonna have to build out that language. So the Ramah, as we said, paskins, you have to see it, say it at night. When the moon is shining, v'nehenin me'ora. So says the Mishnah Berurah on that. Mishnah Berurah kasev, the Masha kasev harama ela b'layla. That is coming to exclude bein hashmashos. It shouldn't be during twilight. It should be when the moon is shining well. And v'nehenin me'ora hainu be'es shezrichasa nikeres al gabe akarka. What does it mean, v'nehenin me'ora? Mr. Wolf is saying it doesn't mean I have to have subjective hana. It has to be a time when the world is benefiting from the moon. This is, we are in our neighborhood. It's a time when the moonlight is strong. So that is what the Mishnah is saying. The Aruch HaShulchan standard is this: there is tzel, there is shadows, there is shade from the moon. In other words, it's very fairly recognizable on the ground that there is moonlight coming in. First night, second night, we don't have that. So it has to be that. So the Kafachayim, bottom right, two lines from the bottom, says, Delav davka shetaini keres al gabe karkashal hazer. It doesn't have to be that when you look at the floor, when we're gearing the strength of the moon to say, is it a proper time? But you have to assume that there's no lights, meaning that's not, I'm not benefiting because there's something man-made. It's assuming, take out all those calculuses, take out the street lights. The question is, is there shadow, shade that we can see that there's really some strength of the moonlight? So it doesn't have to be dafka on the ground. It can be ela af al gavda adayin eno nikosham. Even though I can't see it on the ground, but from the window, there is benefit of having the moonlight streaming into the window. That would also be sufficient. And at the end, he says as follows in the Birka Yosef, She'ena kavana ela shetei me'ira betov. Ela shalot sarich shenene me'ora mamish. You don't have to have hana'a from it. This isn't the concept of I need a benefit from the sun. And then I say the bracha. It has to be that it is a sufficient strength that we are receiving a benefit. Okay, now it happens to be that the Gemara does not mention anything about guidelines as to how we have to see the moon. Can't be covered with clouds. It has to be, if it's a little bit cloudy, a lot cloudy. What if the moon is about to be covered, right? This happens often. Suddenly it opens up and we can see the moon and we see those clouds are flying by and you have a split second. And then it's going to be gone. Can I start saying? So there's no guidelines, no gedorim in the Gemara. So what some of the poskim look to are the guidelines as to having hana'a from the ner motzei Shabbos. So ner motzei Shabbos. So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara and brachos. The Mishnah says that we don't say a bracha on the ner, haner havdala ad sheye oso me'oro, until you have hana'a from the ner, from the light. And there's a discussion in the Gemara there. What does that mean? Does that mean that I actually have to have hana'ah from it? Does it simply mean that it has to be strong enough that people can benefit even though they're not benefiting? Is it talking about also, even assuming it's talking about the ner, but I have to be close enough to that I could benefit even though I don't subjectively benefit from it? I can't be so far away saying that I'm not having any. I have to be close enough even though I'm not benefiting, but I can benefit. So we're going to dabble in this just a tiny bit, and we're going to get back to it in a second. So we're on Kuf Chaf.
The hana'ah that speaking about here is simply having light. Is that the hana'ah?
You're talking about for the moon or the Birkas HaNer? For the moon, what we said so far is that there's some certain strength of the moon that people can benefit from, and the question is how are we gearing it? that we can see that there's shadows on the ground from it. So it's fairly beneficial, that we could benefit if we wanted to do. If there were no artificial impediments that were taking away, so we can benefit. It is the test. If there's some shade that we can see, or inside the room we can see that there's some moonlight coming in, so that there's some benefit that we're feeling. So, Kuf Chaf, bottom right, this is how we paskin when it comes to Birkas HaNer during Havdalah. V'ayin gam b'shulchan aruch shepasak she'ein mevarchin al HaNer ad she'yeosu l'oro. We don't say the bracha Birkas HaNer during Havdalah until we have benefit from the light. What does that mean? Dahainu, shehiye samuchlo. I have to be close enough to the ner, bichte sheyuchal, that I have the potential. I have the potential to be able to distinguish between two coins of two different types, two different currencies, two different countries, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say I actually have to benefit. I have to be close enough that I can benefit. The potential to benefit from those coins. Okay, put that away for a second. That's based on the Mishnah and the Gemara. That's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch when it comes to the benefit. How close do I have to be? What's the strength of the Ner? Motzei Shabbos. Now, how about when it comes to the moonlight? So the Radvaz, we're on Kuf Chaf, top left, was asked the following question. Shuta Radvaz Nishal. The Radvaz was a contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch, and they have fairly similar biographies, being from Spain, wound up in Tzfat. The Radvaz went off to Egypt for a while, came back to Tzfat. So they have a very similar things that they did at the same, during basically almost the identical years. Very good. Okay, so Beshut HaRadvaz, he wrote over 10,000 responsa that we have. We have over 10,000 responses for tshuvas from him. B'shut HaRadvaz Nishal, imivarchin ala levana bizman sheyesh mesach mavdil beino levena. If, can we say birkas levana, if there's some filament, something in between us, a sheet, a window, whatever it may be, that is a dividing between us and the moon. A chatzitz of some sort. V'chein bizman sheyesh amavim, which are ananim, which are clouds. Same question. There's something in between, be it something up there, something down there. So he answers as follows. We learn it from this concept of seeing the Levana. We learn it from Nilma Migeder Riyas HaNer B'Avdala. We learn it from the Ner Avdala, because that's in the Gemara, that's in the Mishnah. That's our parallel. Ditnan Le'inyan Havdala. That we learn via Avdala. Shein Mevarachin Ala Or Ad She'yosu La'ora. That's what we learn. You can't say the Bracha until you have benefit. Objective benefit need not be subjective. A comment, what's the standard there when it comes to the Hana'ah? The Hana'ah of a Ner Havdalah. Amar Ula, this is based in the Gemara, Ad Shiyakir Ben Sela Lapunju, and I have to be able to distinguish between two coins. Is this a 10 agora coin or is it a 50 agora coin? A half a shekel. So that's when it comes. I have to be able to, the Ner Havdalah, I have to be close enough that I have the potential to distinguish between two different coins. So the Radvaz continues, Le'inyam Birkas Levana Nami. Same thing applies when it comes to saying Bir Kiddush Levana, Imam Masacha, Hu Dak V'Kalush. If the whatever the distinction, the Mechitza, the Chatzitza, whatever it is between us and the moon, is thin and transparent, She'over Mimenu Or Halavana, that the light comes from the moon, Ad Shehu Nehene Mimenu, that I can have a benefit from the rays of the moon, from the light of the moon. The yuchol lahakir bein sela lapundin uses the same exact standard that I can tell between two coins using the moonlight. The zulatomin advarim shem mikari lo levana, or whatever else I can tell. Take away that divider between us. Take away the clouds. I can still have the benefit, whether the clouds are there or not. I can still have a benefit and distinguish between them. As vada yachol levarachal, I can vada say the kiddush levana. So the Radvaz is making an important distinction between something that is getting in the way of the view. There's a word for it that it's skewing the view, that it's skewing the light, that I can't benefit from that light right now. And if it's a light distinction, if it's a light cloud, very light cloud cover, where I can still benefit from the rays of the sun, I can still distinguish between these two coins, then I can still say the Kiddush Levana.
Even though you don't see the moon.
Though I don't see, well, that's because typically that's you would be able to see.
I'm getting it from the lights, but there's a cloud cover, but I can't actually see.
Okay, so Lemaisa, if the cloud cover is very thick, and so I can't even make out the moon, I wouldn't be able to have enough of a benefit. But if it's light, the view of the moon would be skewed, but I can see the outline, I can see the moon still, but it's covered up. As long as
the
I can,
is easy.
The sky's very It's a light cloud cover, but I can
see.
What's interesting? He's not talking about can I see the moon or not. His test, and we'll get to what you're saying. We'll get to it in a little bit. But so he's saying my sole focus is the benefit from the rays. Regardless of what the moon looks like, if I can still benefit as I typically, whether the cloud cover is there or not, I can still have my benefit, I can say the bracha. If I don't have my benefit, I can't say the bracha. Now, to get a little bit more granular, this is going to be a little bit technical but fascinating. Kuf Chaf Aleph, left side, where it says Ayin Be'eshel Avram. It's the second large paragraph down. The Ayin Be'eshel Avram Shekasim. Shegeder. What are the guidelines? Ladas mahu av umahu dak v'kalush. What's a thick cloud cover and what's a light cloud cover? Legabe kiddush levana. What's the line? What's the test that if it's light, I can say the bracha. If it's not light, if it's heavy, I cannot say the bracha. Nira shehu. Kishanirim la'ora rov. That's the key word. Hadvarim hanirim la'ora beli hester ananim. If I don't have the cloud cover, I can have 100% visibility. If I have cloud cover, my test is, can I see the majority of things that I can typically see when I have no cloud cover? That's my test. If I can see at least half, rov, more than half of what I typically see, I can say the Kiddush Levana. If I can't see, if it's less than half of what I can typically see, half or less, then I cannot say the Kiddush Levana. So now he gets into the next step. Okay, that's very nice. V'gam kishemekachin korov l'chetzi achodesh. What if it's the 15th night, the 14th night? The moonlight is much stronger then. So do I gear it based on that night, the 50% of what I typically see on the 15th night, the 14th night? That's a lot higher standard. I have to see like half of what I benefit from a lot of light.
So, 100% of the
that could be very good, very good. So he says, no, that's not the test. V'gam kishemekachin korov l'chetzi achodesh nira l'shar, we estimate the kefi ha'or shel halavana belel sheva. You estimate our standard test on the seventh night. I have to be able to see, compare majority, no cloud cover, I can see 100% visibility. I have light cloud, I have to be able to see the rov, the majority, so it's on the 15th night. The 14th night, I have to be able to see what I would see on the majority of things on the 7th night. That's the standard. Sha'azhu yikr zman kiddusha. Why is that? Because there's a minhag that you wait the yikr time, is seventh night, that you start saying the Kiddush Levana. And b'shasadchak, he says, if it's getting towards the end of the time, I can say the Kiddush Levana, and the cloud cover is heavier than visibility on the seventh night, I can drop it down to the third night visibility. A rov, a majority of what I see on the third night, because that is Ikar Shura Sadin, I can say the Kiddush Levana on that night also.
This month is coming on the 6th.
Oh, it's different minhagim. Different minhagim on what we do. We do three. We wait for three. So that's the interesting test so far. If we're focused on our visibility on the ground, how much can I see? We're going to base it ideally based on the seventh night. I have to see the majority of what I typically see on the seventh night, even though there's cloud cover. Now, there are other standards. The Maharsham says it's enough that I can at least, when I look up, this is your standard, when I look up, I can see the outline of the moon. That would be sufficient. I can see its place amongst all the clouds. It's not that the cloud cover is so heavy that I can't see it at all. There's the moon. Can't see it well. It's really, I think we would say this is a medium cloud cover, because with it's light cloud cover, you can certainly see the clouds. Heavy cloud cover, you can't see the moon. Heavy cloud cover, you can't see the moon at all. But medium, you can typically see there's the moon up there. And he brings a quasi-proof of it, that it says when it comes to the poles that come out of the Aron Kodesh, the Pasuk says, V'yeirau Roshe Habadim. That the Rosh Abad and the poles were visible. And the Gemara Menachos tells us that that means that when you had the Kalaim, you had the curtain, the poles used to stick into it and it would bulge out a little bit on the left side. So we see here, it's called Vayerau. It was visible, even though you didn't see the poles. You simply saw the location of the poles. You saw the bulge pushing the curtain out. That's sufficient to be visible. So too, you say Kiddush Levana, as long as you can see the outline, you can see that's the location of the moon, that's visibility sufficient to say the Kiddush Levana. Chassam Sofer brings in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, similar, that as long as the Rishumo, as long as the outline of the moon was visible, that would be sufficient. And there's another standard brought by the Sefer Yeshua, that even if it's totally covered up and you can't see the moon at all, but there is some light on the ground from it, that would be sufficient. This is the lowest standard. That's the low. Can't see it at all, but there's a little bit on the ground, so that would be sufficient. Okay, so what Minhag Ashkenaz is like the Radvaz, that if it's light cloud cover and we're really having a real benefit on the ground, we do say Kiddush Levana. But if it's medium or more, we would not say Kiddush Levana. Svaradim or more Machmir. The Chida says,
yes, because where they lived, it was less cloudy.
So they had they could afford to be Machmir.
Yeah. But if you will recall the last Kiddush Levana, the difference between partly and medium was highly debated.
And also that we had that time that it was just open right there. And we're going to get into that question. It did open, and then it was about to be covered.
How much effort do you have? Like, there's a story about in off of the box.
Going in the helicopter.
You ended up in an airplane because you didn't see it.
Yeah. That's obviously not me, Gradin. That's Midas Hasidus. That's a super Midas Hasidus.
There's another story. I've got to tell you the story. Remember the story about Moshe Wiener's father used to drive the bus from the Rebbe out to Millis somewhere to say Kiddush Levana.
Because it was so cloudy?
No, not because it was the best place to go.
In the country, it's less artificial light.
Huh. All right, so the Chida says, Yizahar shetehei me'ira yafi. You have to be careful that it's quite illuminating. Vim yesh afilu anan dak aleha lo yivarech. The Chida for Svaradim saying even if it's a thin cloud, and that's the Ben Ishchai, that's how he paskins, that even a light cloud cover for Svaradim, they would not say it. So Svaradim are machmir, Ashkenazim are makel. Okay, so the next question is, if the moon is partially covered, you can see part of the moon, but you can't see another part of the moon, can you say the Kiddush Levana? You have to see the full moon. So we're on Kuf Chaf Beis, left side, in the middle. Kuf Chaf Beis, left side, in the middle. B'sefer Leket Yosher Hevi Mirabo Baal Shuma Sadeshen. Great, one of the Rishonim. Pam Achas Lora Rak Mitzas Min Alavana. It was one time that he only could see part of the moon, a small part of the moon. Mishum Shaya Mitzas Mitachazanan. Part was covered, part was uncovered. And the Shuma Sadeshen said Kiddush Levana. That is how Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was also Noheg, that as long as you can see part of the moon, that would be sufficient. Now, truth be told, this the Metzius is, this doesn't happen. Well, it does happen.
But then the clouds move.
That's the next question. There's a very critical complication there. Okay, I look up, it's half covered, but typically when it's cloud, oftentimes when it's cloudy, those clouds are really moving.
Are really
moving quickly. That's last time, and we had it a few months ago. They were really moving quickly. I remember we were standing in front of the Shul Netzach Yisrael, and we're looking, and it's covered. And somebody said, "So is that covered too much? Who's going to answer?" You know, and we had this question right there, standing on the steps, and the cloud cover is going on, even if it's a little bit uncovered. But you know, you get a quick view within a split second, 1 second, 2 seconds, certainly. By the time you're halfway through your bracha, it's going to be covered up. So how long do you have to be?
Yeah, we'll see it for.
So the Radvaz answers that also, and we're going to just look at the Mishnah Berurah one, Kuf Chaf Gimel, right side where it says Gam b'Mishnah Berurah. This is the Mishnah Berurah paskening like the Radvaz. Gam b'Mishnah Berurah kasav shim hiske levarech. If you started to say the bracha kiddush levana v'achar kach niskase ba'avin, and then it got covered. While once you started the bracha, then it got covered. Gomer habracha, you can finish. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah then continues. But if you estimate up front that you will not be able to finish, now we're talking not the entire kiddush levana with all the tehillim and biyutim. We're talking about the bracha of the kiddush levana. If you estimate that you will not be able to finish the bracha before it gets covered up, you should not start. You should not start. That's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah.
If there's a cloud that comes that you don't know about, I mean, how are you going
to
know?
You have to estimate. You have to estimate. You look up, you see, you can see the clouds typically. It depends how strong the moon is. And you look up and you see. So if it's going to be covered, if it's going to be covered by the time, it has to be uncovered the entire time. It has to be uncovered the entire time. You're saying the bracha.
Whatever level of uncovering you're talking about.
Right now we're saying a light covering is okay. We're talking about if it's going to be covered with more than a light covering, that would take us out of the parsha of saying the Kiddush Levana, then you don't start. Now the Bir Halacha brings the sheet of Rav Chaim Sanzer, who says that as long as you see that moon for a split second, even if it's going to be covered immediately, it's not a problem. That's a shita, and he brings a proof, a quasi-proof from the bracha, if you hear lightning. If you see lightning, or I knew I would make that mistake. If you see lightning or you hear thunder, you just have to say the bracha immediately. Talk to Dibor, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Say it immediately, but you don't hear the thunder anymore. You don't see the lightning anymore. So he says,
it's a bracha shevach l'avdor.
So this is his proof, and now we'll take it apart. So that's his proof. He says the same thing would apply to the Kiddush Levana. So the Bir Halacha says that's different.
Of course, the thunder's not there anymore. The moon is there, you just can't see it.
That's the minog shel olam, is that there was lightning, there was thunder, then you can only say the bracha, but the concept of the Levana is you have to have hana, you have to have re'iyah at least. You have to see it. So if you're not going to see it throughout the bracha, you shouldn't be saying, and that's what the Bir Halacha says. Nonetheless, there are those that say that it's like a bracha of shevach and odah, like they say it's like
thunder and lightning.
That would be like thunder and lightning. That's at least the view of the son of Rav Chaim Sanz, that he would put it in the same category. He's just like thunder, and lightning. It's bracha shevach and odah. This would be the sign. You have to see it. You have to say it immediately. Talk to the dibur, just like that. Same gather. So he would say. So, but lemaisa the Bir Halacha is machmir. Bir Halacha is machmir that if it's not going to be uncovered for the entire time of the bracha, we should not be starting. We have to estimate it. Okay, so the next question then is, what happens if it's the last night, last opportunity, it's been cloudy, live in Europe, wherever it is, east coast of the United States, Boston.
Why is there time? Because
it's the chidush. The whole concept of the Kiddush Levana is we're saying the bracha on the rejuvenation of the moon. Once it's gotten to its full, it's going over. It's starting to shrink. It's not growing anymore, and that reflects Klal Yisrael, that no matter what, as down as we may be, we can always return and grow in strength. So that's the whole concept. It has to be when it's on the way up, not on the way down. Okay, so Rav Palim says that. If it's the last night and we're having this issue that it's cloudy and you know it's going to be covered partway through, it's been totally cloudy, but okay, I can see, I'm going to be able to say it. It's going to show, it's going to open up, split second, I know it's going to cover up immediately. Migradin, I shouldn't be saying it, but what if it's my last opportunity? Can we be makel then? So he says that he thinks you should be machmir. Because you're supposed to see it the entire time of saying the bracha. And he brings a proof from a Yerushalmi that says that for Nesius Kapayim, we need a minion. Kriya Satora, we need a minion. Haftarah, we need a minion. Well, what happens if you know that you're going to lose your minion in the middle of the Birkas Kohanim, or the middle of the laning, or the middle of the Haftarah? We paskin, you shouldn't start. If you started and you lost your minion, you can complete. But lechatchila, up front, knowing that you're not going to have your minion, you can't start. He says the same thing applies by Kiddush Levon. If you know you're going to lose the Levana in the middle of your bracha, you shouldn't be starting. But then he says maybe this is different because this is b'di'evit. This is a situation, it's my last opportunity to say the bracha, so maybe we can be mekel. And in the end, he says, sorry, achiyun.
You have a group from Gittin. The guy who gave it on 30 days and he couldn't get over the river. He said, well, it's too bad. He says, it's not an onus because he had 30 days to prepare to get back over the river. So this guy is waiting to the last minute. Or if a guy wants to daven, comes to daven 2 minutes before Shkia and it turns out that there's a traffic accident and he can't get to the shul on time. That's not an onus. The guy's not supposed to wait till 2 minutes before Shkia to daven. Or he's not supposed to wait till the last minute to over the river.
It wasn't visible. And now, last night, can I start being make on this thing? Now, the Alicha Shlomo again. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on this thing is also Mekel. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, if it's going to be uncovered for a little bit, even though it's going to be covered immediately on the last night, last opportunity, we can say the Kiddush Levana. We can say the Kiddush Levana, so he's making on that also. Okay, next question then is, so do I actually have to benefit from the light? We know that when it comes to the Birkas HaNer, we say, we look at our fingernails. Why do we look at our fingernails? Many, many reasons are given, but one of them is that just as we said before, you have to be able to tell the difference between the two currencies, the two coins. That's what we're trying to tell the difference between our nail and the skin. So that's our hana. We're looking at the nails. There are different reasons given. But one of them is that we're having a hana here. The hana is I can see, I can distinguish between two things. So the Birkas Yosef was asked three very interesting questions. Question number one is, if it's a very cold out, you have a reason you can't be outside, can you say the Kiddush Levana from inside through a window? Want to look through the window? Question number one, freezing, it's negative 30, whatever it is. I'm not standing outside for the Kiddush Levana. Stand inside. Question number one. Question number two, the window was very small. Wasn't a big window. There's very little light entering. So I'm really not having a huge benefit.
We said if the Chiyuv is Riyah, so is that considered Riyah? He has the Chalom there.
So is that, if it's subjective or objective?
If the questions have hanor, so he could be accurate from the rays coming in. You can tell the score from that.
Right.
Depends what the time of mitzvah is.
Right. So question number two. And question number three is, very interesting question, the window is so small that it's less than 3 tefach. What's less than 3 tefach? We say lavud. Lavud is you close up the window, so maybe I can't see out. So that's it's a question.
It's not a window.
It's not a window. It doesn't exist. It's a wall. So maybe I can't. We saw that question when it came to the venom from snakes, Mayim Gluyim. And we said, what if your water is in something that's protected at less than 3 tefach, so we can say lavu, that it's really closed and the snake can't get in. So obviously not. The snake can get in. We don't say lavu in that situation. So here the Birka Yosef answers the questions as follows. Number one, and we're going to get back to this in a second, if there's a reason that you need to be inside using a window, it's permitted to say the Kiddush Levana from inside. Well, number one. So being inside is okay. Why was that?
I could be sick.
In Achinami. We'll get back to this point in a second. Number two, Milvad Delech, he says there's no proof that you actually need Hana'a from the rays itself. And he says that we actually have a proof, Lehefech, that you don't need Hana from the rays, because the Brahma Paskins, you can start saying Kiddush Levana from Rosh Chodesh, from the first night. What Hana is there from the moon on the first night? On the first night, there's no benefit for that, and you can still say Kiddush Levana based on the Rambam. You'd have to be able to see a sliver, right? You'd say a sliver, but that's it. There's no Hana. So he says, no problem being inside. If you have a to be inside, you can do it through the window, even though it's a tiny window, and we don't say love it. We don't say that. So that's what he says. So based on that, our next question is this concept of going outside, being outside and saying Kiddush Levana, or can you say it from inside? And one thing that I don't know for sure an answer, but maybe we'll try to make one up, is Netzach Yisrael has this Kiddush Levana in the sukkah. And many people stand underneath, and it's effectively, it's got grates on top. It's under a pergola. And is that acceptable to be standing underneath like a roof like that, or do you have to stand on the side?
There's a. If you're looking through the slats and you're seeing.
Ah, okay. So let's see. Let's see here. Okay. So kuf chaf hey, bottom left. Kuf chaf hey, bottom left. The Shulchan Aruch higia. So the Ramah Paskes as follows: De'ein mekachin halavana tachas hagag. We cannot stand and say kiddush levana standing underneath a gag, a roof of some sort. And the Shilte Agiborim says hevi she'ein lama tachas koros gag. Don't stand under the poles of a gag. That's not literally a real gag. That's standing under. That would include a pargola, I believe. Ella bechatzer. Stand outside in a chatzer, which typically means an open, uncovered courtyard, or berchov, or in the street. But makom tahara bishas kiddush levana, makom that is tahor. We'll have to see what that means at the time of kiddush levana. So there are two reasons.
You can't say through a window.
On a lechatchila basis. On a lechatchila basis, not through a window. Yes. We'll see in a little bit that it's a bidyevit to be inside. The chatchila, it shouldn't be. It's yes.
I think an open gag would be better than a window.
Say again.
An open gag would be better.
An open gag. In achinami. We'll have to see. Yes, it would be, but let's see. There are two variables. So, what's the reason here? What's the reason that we should be outside in an open area in the street in a chatzer and not inside for the kiddush levana? So the levush is as follows. We're on kuf chav vav. Where it says Tam Rishon, right side Tam Rishon. If you look three lines down in the middle, Ki Amekabel Penei Chavero, somebody who wants to greet his friend, or Rabo Agadol Mimeno, a dignified person, his Rav, Eino Omek Betoch Beisu Mekablo. You don't sit back on the couch when you know it's somebody important is coming over to your house. What do? Ela Yotze Kenegdo Chutz LeBeisu LeChabdo Mekablo. You go outside to greet such a person. Your Rav is coming over, you don't sit back and wait till you wait outside for him. That's the proper thing to do. And Kiddush Levanas Kekabalas Pnei Shechina, we're greeting a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So too, we make sure to go outside under the sky to greet a Kaddish Baruch Hu and don't sit back and wait. So that is reason number one for Kiddush Levanas, that's the Levush. The Maharil brings a different reason. So we should not have anything over us that would act as an ohel because of tuma. In other words, if there's tuma underneath a pergola, that would apply also, right? It would be even a branch. So to be underneath a pergola that could act as an ohel over tuma, that would be a problem. So the Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein says, what does this have to do with Kiddush Levana? Why is Kiddush Levana any different from any other mitzvah then? If I'm doing a mitzvah, would I have to always worry something's over my head that it may be an OL for something? So Rav Moshe doesn't like that second reason. Now the Sefer Kiddush Levana does give an interesting reason. He says, because the whole basis of Kiddush Levana is Mekabel Pnei Shechina. We have a higher standard. If we're being Mekabel Pnei Shechina, we have to be sure to not be under something that's Tameh. We have to be careful about all. It's not like any other mitzvah. It's Mekabel Pnei Shechina. We have an extra
so
high level.
Could you say because it's Mekabel Shechina, like we have learned from Avraham, so if it was a great person, maybe he wouldn't have to do the same things that a regular person would be?
So.
Because I know I met once with Rabbi Greiswood, and Rabbi Yoshev came to visit, and Rabbi Greiswood didn't go outside to greet him. I mean, his grandson did. But,
yeah, okay, so somebody did. But somebody did.
Right.
That's important. Right. So it doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do, is what I say. It's the right thing to do.
No,
okay, now there are two interesting nafkaminas.
I'm sure it's not because relative to Hashem, Talmid is a
Kamin.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there are two interesting nafkaminas between these reasons. What if I am in a house but without a roof? Maybe I'm on a porch or something like that.
Yeah, have people that have these things that they push a button and the roof goes off.
So something like that. Something like that. I would stand on
the street.
So according to the first reason that the concept here is to go out into the street to greet, it's not sufficient to be uncovered in one's home. I actively have to go out. If the reason on the other hand is for the second reason,
you would have to go out.
You would have to go out. So if, on the other hand, this the reason is because of tomb, I don't have anything over, over me. As long as I don't have something over me, it doesn't matter where I am. I can be inside my house but without coverings, a porch without a covering, it would be also okay.
The hotel, the Waldorf, right?
Right.
The roof came off.
Same thing. So that's one nafkamina. Next nafkamina, if I am in, very similar, if I'm in a chatzer, if I'm in a courtyard, if I, the issue is I should go out. I'm in my backyard. If I should go out, based on the first reason, the levush, a courtyard is not sufficient. I should be in my backyard or whatever it is. I actually have to go out into the street to make an effort and go out. That's the right. But if the concept is having nothing over me, nothing on top of me, then being in a chatzar would not be a problem. Now, if we think about the pargola issue, and that's a chisrael, based on the first reason, am I actually going out actively? Maybe, maybe not. I don't think it's fully clear. Maybe better not being covered up. But based on the second reason, that I should have nothing on top of me because of tuma, one should not stand underneath the pergola. One should stand on the side of it. So that's what I try to do. I try not to stand under this, what they call the sukkah. I try to stand outside of it. There's just a little strip on the outside, and you have to be able to see the moon from there also. Okay, next question is how about seeing the moon with glasses? Is that considered? I just wanted to look around to see first, and contact lenses would likely be the same, unless we say that's more bottle to the.
So yes, if you look at erva through glasses.
Hold, let's see. So the Shavuos Yaakov.
Hold,
we're getting.
Shal Shukov, they talk about Shal Shukov, he goes up and sees glasses. Is that a Riyah?
Right? All the same. Same Shaila. So the Shavuos Yaakov starts from here. Then you can't see it. That's for sure me. So the Shavuos Yaakov was asked, there's a din when it comes to chalitza, being a dayan, the pasuk says, when the chalitza le'ene haskenim, does kenim have to be able to see the chalitza? And the Gemara learns that they can't be blind, even blind in one eye is a problem. That's not le'ene haskenim.
Both eyes.
Le'ene haskenim. Now, based on that, the Shavuos Yaakov was asked, that's the person questioning, he said, how about glasses? Glasses, he can't, it's not le'ene haskenim. He's using the glasses. So he says, lichora nira. We're on kuf chav zayin right side, where it says veheshi. The lichora haya nira shagam bazet shrichim lizar. Kepshuta, this is not, this is a problem. You're not seeing. The Rial is that Mimasha move up the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara that we see in Rosh Hashanah, Tanu Rabbanu Ra'inu Alavanu B'mayim. When the Aiden come up to testify that they saw the new Levana in the Sanhedrin, they say we saw the Levana, but it was a reflection in the water. Ra'inu Bashashi, we threw it through a lantern or some other chatzitza. Ein Me'idin Alav. So we see that he saw it through a lantern. You saw it through some chatzitza, something between you. That's not a re'iya. So based on that, the Devar Shmuel says, we see from here, she'ein re'iya kesos mo'il. If you see it through a lantern, apparently that would be the same thing as glasses. That is not seeing. Now the Shavuos Yaakov says, I disagree with that. Because as you were saying before, Dr. Birnbaum, there is the concept, there's a lacha that says that if you see an erva, but it's through a division, right, there's a lady who's not properly. It's still an erva. The question, it doesn't matter if you have a glass between you. There's a lantern. It's still a problem. So obviously that is a riyah. So the Shavuos Yaakov brings that as a proof, and he says maybe what that's talking about that you saw the Adim came up, and we saw the Levana through Ashashit. That means you saw it through the reflection in the lantern, but it's not that you saw it directly through and you were viewing the Levana. So if you actually see the Levana, even though something is between you, there's a glass between you, there's a lantern, but you're seeing it, even if you have glasses on, he says, then that would be totally sufficient. He says, look, Kriyasa Torah, the Baal Korah has glasses almost all the time. If you have Dayanim, who are being judging, they have glasses for the most. Everyone wears glasses. So he disagrees with the Dvar Shmuel. Now the Birka Yosef says that Dvar Shmuel,
if you take off your glasses, you can't see at all. So what's the point?
Yeah, in Achinami. So the Birka Yosef says, you know what? When the Dvar Shmuel was saying it's a problem, he wasn't talking about glasses. He was saying a mirror. If you would see through a mirror, that's not seeing. But even the Dmar Shmua would agree that if it's glasses, that's proper seeing. So that leads to the next question. How about a telescope or binoculars? If you sit looking through a telescope or binoculars, would that be considered Re'iyah seeing, or would it not? Now, Kipshuto, we would say if glasses are the same thing, that you can see through glasses, that you can look through binoculars or telescopes, it's just a magnifying glass, but why is it any different? So Rav Zilberstein was asked, it's brought down in a Sefer Birkas Eitan, that there was somebody who was not well, he was not able to get out of his hospital bed, and he said the Birkas Ilanos for 50 years straight and did not want to miss it. And Rav Zilberstein gave him the eitzah, he can't get out of the bed, use binoculars or a telescope and look right out, see it, and that would be sufficient. So based on that, we would say, also with seeing the Levana, if that's the way to see it, binoculars or whatever it is, that would be a proper method. On the other hand...
That's a good hara.
That's a good hara.
Telescopes often use mirrors.
You know, he calls it...
He's talking about mishkefet.
Mishkefet is...
How about binoculars?
Binoculars. Okay, mishkefet. Is that Re'iyah? Yeah. With glasses, So we would say then glasses is okay, but binoculars, according to Rav Zilberstein, that would be okay. But maybe binoculars are different because it's not the normal way of looking. It's magnifying it. So yeah, but it gets it back to what you should be. It's not like a turbo boost on steroids. It's like so last question that we'll deal with is a suma, somebody who's blind.
So what you're saying is if you saw it through
glasses would be fine. Binoculars based on Rav Zilberstein would be fine, but we leave it as it's tzarechim. Maybe it's a little bit different. Unclear.
Because it's a reflection, so you could say the same thing about Arab. It's not an Arab if you can use the binoculars.
No, Pashut says not. And you know, it's easy to distinguish because it's not. They're not. We're not only concerned about Re'iyah. We're concerned about Hirhurim when we're saying a Darsha Kedusha. Okay, so Kuf Chav Ches. When it comes to Suma, right side. Two paragraphs from the bottom, it says, Hamar Shal, B'tshuvas Kasav, Shabir Kas HaLavana, Yachol Suma Levarach. A Suma, blind person, even though he said that there's a din in Re'iyah, Haroa, and based on the Yerushalmi, and this is brought in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, somebody who sees the Levana, he says, nonetheless, a Suma can say the Birkas Kiddush Levana, Asha Amru Gam Ken Ba Ad She Yisula Oro, even though we said the same thing, until you benefit on the light, Mikomakam Lo Amru Shu Yire La Oro, this is what you said before. It doesn't say that if you have to see, that you have to see the light, Ela Shaho Olam Ye Yisula Oro, it's on the Minag Olam that we are benefiting from the light. It has to be that the moon, the rays, the illumination is of a level that we are benefiting, the world is benefiting, it's like a Suma saying the bracha Yotzer HaMeoros, right? He's not, but he can't see the Meoros, can't see the sun, can't see the moon, but nonetheless, because that's on the Minag HaOlam, that we benefit from the changes in the planets and the sun and the moon, so to a Suma based on the Marshal, says the Marshal that you can, that a Suma can say the Bir Kas Levana. Now there are two other shitas.
What would be the whole point? Then you have to see because it's better just letting the world, even if we can't see
them. Someone can lead them.
No, that's because other people are benefiting. Other people, there is a benefit to the world, and he's a participant in the world. Now I don't remember. I just don't remember Lamaisa. I don't remember. It's in the Sefer in Krach and Bereshis. I just don't remember, so I don't want to answer.
Enachinami.
But here we have three shitas. If I remember correctly, I think we're going to come out. I think we say the same thing there as will come out here, that he shouldn't say it for himself. Somebody else should say it for him. But I don't remember. Okay, so Shlus Yaakov says a different sheet of the Maharshal when he says that a blind person can say it. He's saying that in the context when he goes out into the street and there are other people also saying the Kiddush Levana, then he can say it with them because they are benefiting from the light. But by himself, he shouldn't be saying the Kiddush Levana. If he's with them, then he should say it with them. And the third sheet is that a Suma, a blind person, should not say it at all. because there is a din talta b'riya. We did say seeing it, and he's not seeing it. Lamais lebir alacha comes out as follows: it is preferable that a suma should not say it by him or himself. I was going to say him or herself, but this is himself. Women in the minhag is to not say kiddush levana, but he should not say it himself. He should, for the bracha part of it, he should be yotze via somebody else. They should be motzi him. He'd say amen, just like any other bracha that we can be yotze via somebody else. He would say amen, and then the rest of the kiddush levana he can say by himself. Okay, let me recap real quickly. Our sugya was the kiddush levana. Our focus was Haroa es Halavana. The Radvaz says there's a major distinction between if the covering of the moon, when it comes to cloudiness, is light or heavy cloudiness. We paskin for Ashkenazim that if it's very light and I can still have benefit, certainly if I can set our standard, have a majority of the benefit that I can typically benefit from the moon on the seventh day, based on that standard, I can save the Kiddush Levana. Svaradim or Machmir, any covering, they do not say the Kiddush Levana. And even when it comes to Ashkenazim, we have Shailas, if it's going to be covered in the middle of the bracha towards the beginning, we still should not say it, but we are more makel when it comes to the end of the run, that it's our last opportunity. We can start being a little bit makel on the cloud covering, and also if it's going to be covered, as long as we have a fairly decent view of the moon, even if it's going to become covered real quickly, we would be able to be lenient.
And if a woman wants to, she can say Kiddush Levana.
That is Amir Tzashem, the next sugya.
Oh, really?
Next year. Yeah, that's Chiyuv Kiddush Levana Benashi. I will tell you that I was visiting Columbia University for Shabbos, and you already know where I'm going. And everyone says, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. Somebody from back says, Shalom Aleichem. I say, Aleichem, Shalom. And it turned out to be a woman. And I could not believe it. And I said, it just spurted out. I said, I take it back. I was just so shocked that a woman was saying Kiddush Levana, never said such a thing. And to tell me Shalom Aleichem was just over the line. So.
But there are other reasons.
There are other reasons. So Mir Tzashem will get it. Okay.
Some girl from Columbia that got killed.
What was it?
Some girl from Columbia that got killed in Central America.
Yeah. Honduras.
Mouse. Hey. Okay. Quick word on Parshas Bo. A quick word on Parshas Bo. It says. We have the some of the questions of the sons that we have in the Haggadah, and the most discussed is of the Rasha. The Rasha says, "Ma'avodah azos lachem," and as we make the drasha, lachem v'lo lo, because he was motzi himself from the kal, that was the problem. He took himself out. So, two questions: why is it so bad? Classic questions: why is it so bad, and why do we hit him in the teeth? That's what we ask at the Seder. So I saw a very beautiful void from Rav Yehuda Prero, who says, if you look at Parshas Vayeshev, when Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, who did not get along with his brothers very well, he says, your brothers are out shepherding the flock, go ahead out, I want you to go and help, go and check on them. He says something fairly bizarre. He says as follows, Re'e eshlom achecha ve'eshlom hatzon. Go check out how your brothers are doing, the shalom of your brothers, and I'll go and check out the shalom of the tzon. It's a bizarre thing to say. Why the shalom of the tzon? His brothers are watching the tzon. Go see how everything is going. See how your brothers are doing. Why is he saying, check out the peace of your brothers and the peace of... And why didn't he include them together? Lech, go check out the shalom of your brothers and the tzon. Why did he say the shalom of your brothers and the shalom of your tzon? It doesn't seem to make sense. So Rabbi Prero says beautifully, he says there are two types of peace. Two types of peace. One is represented by the shalom achicha, and one is the shalom of the tzon. And he says it goes as follows: when it comes to tzon, sheep, what's the peace? How do they get along? They sit by themselves. They say, "You don't bother me. I'm not going to bother you." And they do their own thing, and that's their happiness. That's their peace. Don't interact with me. I don't want to interact with you. I just want my grass. Don't take my grass. I'm not going to take your grass. I don't want any interactions. And that's peace. But there's no interaction or cohesiveness there. And the other type is shalom achecha, is when you have a group, when you have a wonderful shul, that they look out for each other, and there's unity, and there's teamwork, and if one needs something, the other one helps out with him. And that's shalom achecha. And what Yaakov Avinu was saying was a little mussar to his brother, go look. Look at the piece of your brothers. Look at the piece of the sheep. And you, Yosef, where you're a little bit lacking is that your concept of peace is like the cow, like the sheep. That, okay, you know, I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to, and you're not one of the team. You're not a team player. And you have to look. Look at the shalom of the achecha. Look at the shalom of your brothers, how they're a team and they're a unit and they have unity. And unfortunately, that's something that you're lacking. So I want you to check out and distinguish between the shalom of each of them. And that was a bit of the mussar, and that's why he was saying, look at the shalom there, look at the shalom there, and try to emulate the shalom of your brothers, because that's what's something that's necessary. Unfortunately, it was too late, and he got sold at that point as a slave, and you don't have that unity of Klal Yisrael until later on, Nasa and Ishma, when after 210 years, and they come out of Mitzrayim, and they're at Har Sinai, you do have that Achdus back. But to get back to the question of the Rosha, we see why it's such a bad thing when he says, Ma'avodazot Lachem, he says, I'm excluding myself, that the Rosh is saying, I'm like going to have the Shalom of a sheep. I don't want to interact with Klal Yisrael, I don't want to be part of Klal Yisrael, so just leave me alone. And we see from Yosef and the message of Yaakov to Yosef how important it is to see the Shalom Achecha, that Klal Yisrael and a family needs to have Achdus and a team unit and looking out for each other. And that's why when somebody comes and says, I want to opt out of this, I want to be like a sheep, that's an affront to what's necessary in Klal Yisrael. And to answer the second question also beautifully, being the son of an orthodontist, he says, what's the connection that we break his teeth? Because what teeth symbolize is one tooth by itself is not effective. It does, we have a dentist. It does nothing. But when the teeth are together and they're biting together and everything is aligned and there's no TMJ problem. You like that? No. And I know what it stands for, temporal mandibular joint. I almost couldn't say that. Well, it's the joint itself, TMJ. So if everything is working together, when everything is working together, there's cohesiveness. That is the shalom of the brothers. But if it's just yourself, that's the shalom of the sheep. And that's why makeshinov, that the teeth represent that there needs to be achdus. Just like you need achdus in the teeth, you need the achdus of the brothers. Very important lesson.
If one tooth is a little higher than the others, and that tooth touches the old tooth, they all fall apart. No, they won't touch.
They're right. They don't work. That one can fall, throws everything off.
Engagement of
very good issue. Right.